all fucked up. I let you fuck up my vow of celibacy, and now I have to start anew again. I compare it to nail biting, another habit I'd like to stop. I'd like to be able to quit for just once. Own long, pointed, manicured nails and peace of mind. And then Groucho died not too long ago, and so I wrote a poem on his death day. Groucho, what was it like without work during the Depression? You hung around a long time waiting for the double sevens to be thrown before throwing in the dice. Groucho, what words of wisdom do you have for a woman? Not a girl, chick, winch, foxy lady, dame, tartar, whatever name you happen to drop on the opposite sex, too weak to be a threat. Groucho, what were you waiting for if all the women in your life were horrible, unequal, unbearable, shallow, senseless, fickle? You crouched over from the disease between your legs, but who put it there? Groucho, sinister great-grandpa, grumpy, sarcastic, moving around like a hungry rooster, pecking every grain and every feathery neck. Groucho, it is said it was your brother who was always broke. Always gambling, how'd you manage to stay in the bucks? Groucho, we need to know. Share that wealth of wisdom you have buried with you somewhere near Grant's tomb. Well, that's pretty rough, so perhaps I should go to a sweet poem. We all have these sides to ourselves. I guess that's why I write poetry. I haven't read any of these poems. Maybe three or four of these I've read to or let other people read, but most of these poems I've written in the last year or two and haven't been seen by the human eye. Okay, except mine. I guess I'm human. Half-tone euphony. There's something elegant about the way you make 20 minutes of lovemaking seem like 3 hours long. The way you make morning coffee unforgettable with breakfast paper, juice, and omelet. The way you choose champagne for the evening and spread your thin legs apart, stretching to relax your cerebral kind. Forgetting the barrage of insults, the proletariat harangue, and its opposites, isms all. Needless to say, you have your ways of spacing out a stolen day in the city. Could we say you are the lost concept, the English gentleman farmer with a race of Indian, French Indian, streaking through you? Your heritage, mentioned here as before, display you brown, eyes circling a theme. You have your ways of making it. June, and one should think that by now. At 33, the age of the death of Christ, the eon of maturity, one could approach reality without as much pain as puberty brings. Oh, Christ, it isn't that way. Those of us who would not harden, alert to the jade, soften, soften, and soften. Reflections, a portrait upon your leaving. I suppose I should say I've thought of myself for a long time as a love poet. And the topics, the two basic themes of the collection of poems I have here deal with love and money. So, now the question is, should I accept the proposal? Marriage beneath my means is not desirable unless I truly love. Otherwise, marriage is a business proposition, a lifelong investment unless it is considered to be short-term from the very beginning. Signed, Cassandra. There are many characters to my play, those I love and those I hate, and those I feel nothing for, those I pity, those I envy, those I don't define, and all in time these people will appear and disappear on my stage. Some at command performances, some will slip onto the stage, and steal the show, even I don't know. Signed, Cassandra. There will be time for plays and concerts and little surprises, tears and applause, guffaws and yawns. Signed, Cassandra. Reflections. A portrait upon your leaving. You put your fire to the wind. You tackle anything that hinders your way. That's what holds me up in giving loyalty to you. Yet, if there's no chase, no competition, there's no joy, no excitement, no ups and downs. I'm not a flat person, and I see you fiery round. A brick. A brick is a poem, not for us. A doorstop to hold a door open or shut. To be used as a weapon or, strangely juxtaposed, a gift. It can be a tool, we've discussed many of these. Or it can rest idly nowhere, doing nothing, being beautiful, being brick, or being thought useless by itself. In particular, will parting your hair in the middle embarrass you if I comment on it? Tell me why. Hell, why don't you trust it, or at least try to comb through your hair and find a strand of faith locked somewhere in that head of yours? God, how tired we all are, having gone this far. Even I don't think I care. And we'll go back to a mean poem. This one's called Politics. This one's written from an actual experience when I was about seven. And I wrote this last year. But there was a clubhouse that the guys had in the alley. It said no girls allowed. So I wrote this poem many, many years later. Politics. It's going to make you guys very mad. It was the clubhouse sign that said, "No girls allowed," scrawled across the hard, splintered wood. The idea came across loud and nameless. No one signed their names. No one. No one understood better than I those days what being girl meant. Who were these men? Why were their secrets? Why were their secrets held exclusive by sex? This was the first clue that men are irrational. Though it has always been said, the main accusation against females, that women are irrational, that they emote too much, that they can't understand, much less do what needs to be done. What is the real secret, then? That men don't want their secure position shaken by female competence? Well, as soon as the first woman comes along to run for president, I'm going to vote for her whether her politics agree with mine or not. It's been a long time. Okay, this is one. This is another love poem, jumping you back and forth from love and hate. It's called 2/21/75 because that's the date I wrote it. If I decide on loving you beforehand, mathematician, can I count on you? Zero. This equation must equal out or nothing is known. I must, moreover, be true to what I believe in doing so, contained in fact. Your shoulders, neck, are a straight logarithm in form, and your mind as limber as Einstein's. It's your body, I would prove, and my mind are both yours and mine. Your wifery, my friend, would mind only that and if I love you. Fine. Inversely, I do. You with the purple eyelids. You with the purple eyelids, come here to me. You with the languid, you with the purple cream, soft-shouldered eye dying to be lifted off. You come here to me singing daisies and champagne, bringing poetry and sleepless evenings, romantic id. Where did you come from? I think I know why. Where are you going? I think I know. What can I say to you more than hand reaching? I try to speak slowly, move slowly, breathe slowly, do slowly, even in a race. Do you like to jog? Do you like Marcel Marceau? I wouldn't clothe you in my slow motion act. I would walk and run with you, but in time I would request a slow dance. Between fast and slow are rippled digressions I want to know. This is not a poem personal, as it is to be published forever in our minds. This is no missal or epistle. This is me talking over the air we have known. 7777. The locusts, like bagpipes, push for the air with music, while I try for some song with this mechanical musical wizardry. Royal electress, metal sound shapes me, my own mistress of my own sound. Testing my own voice with these keys, wings, cellophane, paper, and fragile lungs, full as bagpipes of history, locus of 7 times 7 times 7. Ah, dry July, you make me summer, give me summer, time to love you, everything music. Memory, red. I gave you a red candle, a rose is red. I am told the heart is red, bright, it was a candle, a flame, a burning scent became our love, the passion of it burnt. The flower of it out of time, it slowly came, slowly went, and we were red and waxened, aged like candle wax. It was a wine, red, aged, sipped, and it lingered like a flame, embedded burnt in forehead. An unripe, ripening blackberry love it was. I have seen red in my dreams, in my blood. I have given you red, red love as a gift, and now I am a restless red thought given to red daydreams. Apples, not oranges, strawberries, not pears, and the black red berries were what we wore in July. The red words, red silences, red cries coming in red floods, and it was red, red, red love, and it was, you were red, nipple red, and ready taut. A painted white face from my mother who is dead. A painted white face in the dark, pale Indian, and a mystical, unearthly radiance, mystical moon. All came to me near, awakened me, 5 a.m. after a mother dream. The corner of a mirror shone to me like an eye, and my heritage flew into me like a heavy dark bird dropped quickly dead from heaven. Pianist and filmmaker, navigator of first voyages. Mother wouldn't forgive me for this dream, for wanting to be. Where is the pen, my sources? What I have to say about that. There were many excuses in my mother's day for being indisposed, besides the curse, which was rarely spoken of. There was the church, prayers, you know, and the baby most didn't even know was on its way. Illness of any kind was the sure way to absent oneself from society, work. Only lately became an acceptable way for a lady to excuse herself from the family. The family, which is really not work after all. The family, another excuse for preventing herself from doing what she wanted. My fruity menstrual flow hurts. Of no interest to anyone but me. Perhaps some horny male responsible to the core is concerned. Ironing tablecloths. My mother's tablecloth is silk and white, costly, no doubt, fine. The iron glides over it. Wrinkles disappear easily with the heat as I apply it. It is large and formal and heavy, with blocks of white, tone patterns, squares which make you look for the subtle design in it. It touches the floor as it moves across the board, and I fold it, set it aside in an old hutch drawer to wait for a holiday, a dinette. My tablecloth is linen, muted, subdued colors. In truth, a coarse beige Irish linen, small and intimate. The border of it is a delicate blue tube ribbing. I sprinkle it, bless it, roll it like a cinnamon loaf, wait for it to be ready, as in cooking. Slowly going over it, I iron it to smooth it flatten. Small clusters, fruit and tiny flowers, intricate patterns. I place it on the kitchen table, creaseless, still steaming. This is called Anyone Can. Perhaps you've heard of the book, Anyone Can. There's a hint of it, I guess, in this poem. My poems are prayers born out of my own desperation and the desperation of others who's touched my soul, the eternal soul of others. I spring up from my bed like one thrown from a window or one thrown from an airplane. One goes up and out and goes away from the marriage bed like one thrust away from the urgency of unsatisfied sex or satisfied sex tormented by thoughts of heaven and hell, the old paradigm, the old friend and enemy. I am tossed about and out of a book of poems. One can't read too much. Anyone can. Anyone can throw words down on paper, crazy connections, thoughts transformed onto the page. Some say are nonsensical. Erica Jong, you honey bitch, you are my sister. Sly Sylvia, you are alive. Sylvia Silken Tongue. I think I'll stop on the next two. Well, there are two on money, and I think I should read about money, since no one likes to talk about it. This one is a love poem, and the next two are money poems. Once home separation. I douched using the solution you brought from the Dominican, and my stomach ached, the baby not wanting anything unnatural. I felt swollen with the sense of you, and I know you are now again thousands of miles away. We are as fragile as a fetus and determined to find our own way. I drank the wine, remembrance of our blood ties, and thought of you as I drove home. I drip from the bath of you, emit the fragrance of you, and the pains I feel because of you force me to wonder if I'll die of you. The thought of you, dust to your house, 100 thoughts of you, and now the absence of you, once home. The rich like the poor. The rich like the poor, have the same eating habits. Pickled pig's feet, for example, bored to death, are starving to death, eat anything. There are other similarities. The white like the black, have same structures. Walk on both feet, for example, and when cut or receive insult, feel pain. There are other similarities. This one's for DKK, RAH, and others on being poor. It's a question of money. A question of style, which makes the smile come on and off. It's a question of long-waiting bitterness that frightens the smile off to a shivering fear. A question of what might have been, of what could have been, of what should have been. You think into this and try to relax the stretched tension in your neck, your throat. It's a long question of health and food and drink, and unequivocal and uncaged, unequal allotments of time. It's a question of gifts distributed and looked after, and long thoughts about those gifts. Those gifts, it's a question of charity and time, and aspirants wanting more, or wanting at least to understand. It falls sometime into the questions of envy, hate, sadness, moroseness, and pain. Pains and pains and pains. It's a question of gifts and what money can buy and what it can't that keeps me far, farther, and farthest away from you. I would send this message to all of you immediately via telegram if I had the money. Thank you.